We're back with Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Teich. Tomorrow afternoon at the Zelazo Center on the UWM campus, Early Music Now welcomes one of Canada's preeminent early music groups. The quintet called Ensemble Caprice is based in Montreal, but are on a North American tour, bringing Milwaukee audiences a program of familiar and unusual Baroque works.
The group brought their instruments into our performance studio to give us just a little preview.
Dans la vision de Dieu sans voile.
They speak French in paradise?
Oh, how fine it is to be in paradise, where life is filled with joy and laughter, and the moon shines in all her glory. Oh, how fine it is to be in Milwaukee!
Ensemble Caprice, bienvenue au Milwaukee. Thank you so much. Oh, it's such a pleasure to have this music in the studio. It doesn't happen often enough where I get to hear Baroque music played this way. And I want to talk about that. This is a wonderful, it's almost like a pickup band of musicians. And a lot of times I think those of us who have listened to recordings of Baroque music think of it as a much more formal thing. And this seems very informal and immediate. And is that something that you have always done as Ensemble Caprice? Is that always the way you've approached the music?
Well, Ensemble Caprice, we are approaching our 30th anniversary, and of course there was a lot of development. And we do the more formal programs, like we celebrate our 30th anniversary with Bach's B minor Mass, among other things. But we have also done a lot of music that was played in the streets and on country roads, gypsy music throughout the 17th and 18th century, which has changed our approach to music in general. And for instance, when we add a percussion instruments, there's no part written for any of that. And Zia Tabassin, our wonderful percussionist, just makes it up on the spot. So we automatically get those impromptu elements integrated into the music. And we have experienced ourselves. It's so much fun to do that. And music takes on a different kind of energy, different kind of power that enthralls people, including ourselves. So having that in mind, we like to refer to it as sprezzatura, like a negligent elegance that we apply to the music, which keeps the formal element, because the repertoire that we are playing is like the Vivaldi's La Follia and so on. It's a great repertoire. And the program at the concert in Milwaukee, among other things, Bach's famous Chaconne. So we have the grand repertoire, but we also have music that we hear also during this show that is more like, yeah, music being played in the streets, invented, improvised, ornamented. And so it takes a certain style to bring that across.
Thank you.
always thought of Baroque music in particular, before you get into the formalism of the classic period, where there was room for that. There was room for ornamentation. There was room for all of these different voices to kind of talk to each other in a way that wasn't already written down.
You have both sides, and that's so wonderful. You have the scientific side, very well organized, Bach's counterpoint, and he doesn't want the players to mess around with his music. So you have that very strict and disciplined kind of music, very formal. At the other hand, yes, you have the more improvisatory style that lives on, thrives on the personality of the player. Like in jazz, you bring your own personality to the music, and that's what makes the music, brings the music to life.
And so for all of you, is it fun to do this, to kind of move out of the more formal style and just have fun with each other?
Well, of course, even in the formal style, we have a lot of fun, I should say. But until, you know, early on in the Baroque period, the printing press was invented, and that changed everything when people could write stuff down. Otherwise, very little was written down, and most people improvised, and that was music making. And taking famous tunes, like some that you'll hear today in this radio program, and improvising upon them was what music making was. So we feel as though we have the right to try and do the same thing, and it's really a lot more fun.
Carrying on the tradition.
Carrying on these traditions.
Yeah. And you are playing, Susie, you're playing the Baroque cello. What differentiates that from a modern cello?
Well, if you just look at my cello, it looks like a modern cello. But the differences are subtle. The angle of the neck, the innards are much lighter, and gut strings, of course, change the sound. And the bow, it makes a huge difference. The bow is like a bow and arrow bow, and plays much faster and is much lighter than a modern bow. So the entire sound is different. And one of the wonderful things about gut strings is that each string has its own character. We're not looking for equality of sound. We're looking for different characters changing all the time from each string.
And David, you have a very old guitar.
Yeah, I used to play on an Italian model from the 17th century, but a copy. But it's very new. I just own a new Baroque guitar original from 1776 from Lyon in France. And it's very different from me, for me to play this new old instrument. It has a rich sound, and I'm very happy with this instrument.
It does have a beautiful, beautiful sound. And listening to the music, which we'll hear in a minute, you two are sort of the rhythm section along with Zia on the percussion. And there's just this wonderful sonic interplay between the cello and the guitar. Do you find that it's different with him playing this guitar, Susie?
Oh, yeah, this guitar, when he says it's new, it's actually a golden oldie, but he just received it. So this is our first time playing with it. And it's really different. It's much richer and rounder in sound. I think it's great.
Thank you.
Sophie and Matthias, you are playing the, I would say, the solo instruments, the recorders. And that is an instrument that has been around a very, very long time and has a huge history.
Well, funny enough, I grew up in Germany and they found an instrument and recorder as old as 32,000 years, very close to where I grew up. Yes, it's one of the oldest instruments, and musicologists at this point think it might be, well, as old as percussion instruments, which is came as a surprise to us. It turns out that we play an instrument that is heavily underrated in our society, but has qualities and capacities that are just stunning. So we just like to explore these possibilities. It's a very dynamic instrument. It's very virtuosic. At the same time, because you can use many different instruments in one concert, we enjoy the variety of our instruments, let's put it that way.
Well, and the Baroque period was such a flourishing time for the recorder as a solo instrument. I know the alto recorder was the solo instrument before the flute really took over.
Yeah, that's correct. It disappeared around 1750, but until there, it came all from Italy and the North Italian school. They developed incredible techniques of how to play dynamically and how to ornament, how to develop a good technique. And from that on, composers like Telemann, Bach, Vivaldi took it on and just explored the possibilities of the instrument. Yeah.
I know some of the virtuoso requirements of those concerti are amazing. And to hear people like yourself perform them, you don't realize it's an instrument that has just finger holes. There's no keys. There's no, you know, it's with your breath and with your, you know, with your technique.
That's correct. On the other hand, it's the bore, the inner side of the instrument, the soul of the instrument that makes all the difference. And that is a very complex physical shape that has sort of irrational elements. It took people thousands of years to figure out how to shape that in more order to be able to play scales. And there were all kinds of different models. And in the 17th century, the recorders were made in one piece. Later, they made it in three pieces so you could tune them while playing and adjust. So it was it took a long, very, very long time. But they look outwardly like very simple instruments, but inwardly they're highly complex, just like the players are.
That's right. It's all on the inside.
It's all on the inside.
So tell me a little about the performance you're going to give here for Early Music Now.
It's our program I Love Baroque, and it comes with 8 short stories and 9 roses. And for every set of music is accompanied by a short story referring to the composer and his love life. So his fiancée, girlfriend, wife, whatever happens in their life.
All of them.
They're exactly there. There are funny stories. There are sad stories. And they all are tied together in with wonderful music. And at the very end, one rose is left. And the big question is, for whom might that rose be? And you have to come to the concert to find out, because we won't tell now.
Ensemble Caprice, I want to thank you so much for playing for us today, for stopping by. Merci beaucoup.
Thank you, Andrea.
Thank you. Merci.
Ensemble Caprice, performing in Lake Effect Studio C1. The group plays a concert presented by Early Music Now late tomorrow afternoon at the Zelazo Center on the campus of UW-Milwaukee. There is more information at wuwm.com.